from Rockwired Sound in Albuquerque, New Mexico, of all places. This is Rockwired Radio, exclusively at rockwired.com. On today's show, Rockwired presents music, music, and more great music, and an exclusive interview with electro-pop band Leodorus, and then more music. Stick around for more. Rockwired Radio is a production of Rockwired Media, LLC, a limited liability company. Please stand by. Welcome to Rockwired Radio, exclusively at rockwired.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and what can I say? It's the beginning of summer, and I feel like slacking off just a little bit. As you probably noticed from the intro, we don't have back-to-back interviews this time around, but guess what? I've got a hell of a lot of great music for you today, and I can't wait for all of you to hear it. Rockwired is also going to be featuring music and an exclusive interview with the Albuquerque-based synth-pop band Leodorus, who have just released their latest CD, Ode to the Builders. I had a chance to speak with Jason and Darla of Leodorus, and you're going to get to hear all that in due time. I thought I'd share with everyone that last week's show was the most enthusiastically received edition of Rockwired Radio, and that was due in no small part to Lucas Rossi, the former lead singer of Rockstar Supernova. Lucas happens to be a good friend of mine, and I was happy to interview him for the show last week, so I figured I'd send the guy some props by kicking the show off with him. Here is Lucas Rossi with the title track of his forthcoming solo debut CD, Hollywood.
Change. The TV said they killed. for nobody. Never again, never again. I'll never change for nobody.
From her CD Blister, that was the sizzling Katie Kirkover with Habit. For more on Katie, visit her at myspace.com/Katie Kirkover. If you've just now happened to hear about Rockwired Radio for the first time because you're dying to listen to the interview with Leah Doris, let me tell you that Rockwired.com has been an online music magazine since 2005. While we're based in New Mexico right now, we were actually formed in Southern California. We love our new surroundings, and we want to be part of the music scene here in the land of entrapment. If you're a recording artist based in New Mexico and you've got something you want to get out there, let me know. Email me at djlush@rockwired.com or go to rockwired.com and click where it says contact. send me your links and I'll see what I can do. But right now we've got the soulful electronic sound of Rhett Fraser Inc. From their CD Escape from Detroit, here is Rhett Fraser Inc. with You Can't Stop.
This time, it's a fate you can't deny. The future's caught you from behind. 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 The future's caught you from behind.
You can't stop what's already happened.
Together for some time. for some time now, for fear of the unknown. You search for answers on your own, like a child on a search for diamonds in the snow. Ooh, ah, go to Paris, go to London, go to Rome. Ah, won't tell anyone about your broken bones. Ah, we won't stop.
CD Velvet Mustache, that was the San Diego-based band White Apple Tree with Broken Bones. Check out the band at www.whiteappletree.com. If you like what you hear, please let me know. Go to Facebook and tell us how much you like us. Simply click on the Facebook button on rockwire.com and be a friend. I love early summer. It's just filled with so much promise and optimism and, oh boy, now I'm starting to think of that damned oil spill in the Gulf. The next artist I'm going to play is from that part of the country, and she released this single at the beginning of the year. Too bad. Sounds like a great summer song. Here is singer-songwriter Beth Thornley with the title track from her latest CD, Wash You Clean.
Yeah.
listening to Rockwired Radio, exclusively at rockwired.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and we'll be back with the music and an exclusive interview with Leia Doris after this teeny tiny little break. This is Rockwired Radio, exclusively at rockwired.com. Musical aptitude since 2005. Welcome back to Rockwired Radio, exclusively at rockwired.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and now we're getting down to business. In our show's pledge to give it up for New Mexico recording artists, we've only been able to shine a light on Kristen Gray and the Moving Dunes and then a band called The Strange, and both of them were Santa Fe-based. Now I'm pleased to give props to a band based right here in Albuquerque. The band is called Leia Doris, and for the past 8 years they've released 3 albums and have gone through a bunch of personnel changes. Their latest album, Ode to the Builders, is a decidedly somber slice of synth pop, yet completely engaging. I had the chance to speak with the band founder Jason Smith and Darla Van Winkle of Leia Doris about the new album and the inspiration behind it, but we will get into that in just a few minutes. Right now, from their album Ode to the Builders, here is Leia Doris with They Have Eyes.
Get up.
From their CD Ode to the Builders, that was Leodorus with They Have Eyes. Visit the band at their official website, www.leodorus.com. I had a chance to sit down with Jason Smith and Darla Van Winkle of Leodorus, and here's a little taste of how it went. With all the work that's gone into recording Ode to the Builders, how do you feel about the finished work?
You know, we're all quite proud of it. This is about 3 years in the making, and it certainly is quite an evolution from our past releases. I've said over and over again that this is more Leodorus unplugged. So we have instruments that we've never used before, and we really made a concentrated effort to have more live instruments than we have in the past.
I see. And why do you think it took 3 years? Was it just to master instruments that you hadn't played before, or what was it?
Their names are Madeline and Jude.
I see.
We've had two kids in the last 3 years, and so that certainly slows things down a bit. Our producer also has a family, and so we were working with him when we could. And we had most of the album written way ahead of time, but we just didn't. It took that long to get in and to get everything perfected the way that we wanted to, working around our families.
And how do you juggle, you know, music making with a family life? How does that work?
You know, you have to make it work. We're both very dedicated to having a family and a band. A lot of times my parents will come into town to watch our kids so we can go play out of state. And we, of course, have instruments for our kids so that while we're playing, they can play too. So we have our real drum set in the studio. Madeline has her drum set up in her room. But it definitely makes it harder, but it's worth it.
Now talk about the genesis of the band, Leodorus. How did that begin?
Well, Jason founded the band when he was in high school in 1998, and Fox was his friend at that time, and they started playing together. Let's see, and then I joined in 2003. They had a drummer before, too, that kind of dropped off the radar, but yeah, I joined in 2003. Basically, Jason had a show booked, and the person that had been playing keyboards for him couldn't play that show, and I have a background in piano and in violin and viola, and so I just told him, well, teach me, and he did, and I played that one show, and I've been in the band ever since. And then Ryan joined us on drums back in 2007. He was a client of Jason's, actually, and they were talking one day and discovered that, you know, not only do we need a drummer, Ryan was a drummer. So he came to a show of ours where we were playing a two-hour set, actually, so he got to see everything we had and decided if he wanted to join with us, and he did, and he's been with us ever since. And here we are now.
And what was it that drew you to this band, you know, musically and all that?
Well, my background is art history. Well, in college, it's art history. In high school, it was music. When I was in college, I went to the College of Santa Fe. Fox was one of my residents in the dorm that I lived in. And he told me that he had a show coming up in Albuquerque at an art gallery opening. So I drove over with Fox from Santa Fe to Albuquerque to see him, see his band play at this art opening, and it just sort of clicked. I really loved the music, and then that's how I met Jason, and we actually got married after that. So that's how I was drawn into the band and the music.
And talk about how music began for you as an individual.
My background was classical music. I grew up with playing the piano, the violin, and the viola, and so I definitely didn't have the more rock background that the boys have. And I don't know. I'm sorry. What was that question again?
Oh, how did music start for you?
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. It started with the classical, and probably the first band that really made me think about writing my own music was Portishead. I'd never heard anything like that. I heard them in college, and I just really loved it. And they've got a great combination of, you know, the electro pop, kind of like what we do, And then bands like Hulu came along that very strongly influenced me, and I loved what they were doing. We've actually been fortunate enough to meet them. And, I mean, of course it's an outlet. It is for all of us. I think all of us wake up in the middle of the night with lyrics in our head or a tune in our head, and it's a way for us to, I wouldn't so much say express ourselves, but get out what is in ourselves. And it's nice that we can all sit together and do that as a group. I mean, Jason and I were composing for years on the last two albums, and then with this third album, we've got Fox and Ryan who have contributed to this as well. And so it's been quite an evolution.
And describe the songwriting process within this band. How does that work?
You know, a lot of times Jason will have something in his head, and he'll wake up usually early in the morning and come down. We've got a studio in our house, and we have different software. We use Logic. He'll start laying down a piano track and then layer it with a drum track. And by the time I get to it, he probably has 10 tracks already layered on top of each other of where he wants a song to go. And he'll have an idea of how he wants the lyrics to flow. A lot of times he'll hum out what he's thinking and the patternation of the syllables for each line. And I'll just help him insert words into those syllables. Usually he might have a couple, he'll have an idea of where he wants the song to go, and I sort of help him say what he's trying to say. And then, of course, Fox and Ryan come in with the studio and lay out the drum tracks and the guitar tracks.
Talk about the other members of the band, including Jason. I mean, tell me what it is you think each of them brings to the table, not just musically, but personality-wise, that makes this thing work.
Well, Jason, of course, is the main composer. I mean, he's the one who is writing most of the music, and then... And of course, he's funny. Something that you may not know from our songs. He's
no.
Really funny. And he's quite a front man. He really doesn't like talking about the band that much. So a lot of that's left to me. But when he gets on stage, he just sort of turns it on in a way that I certainly can't do. I'm not terribly comfortable on stage the way that he is. But he does certainly have the frontman present on top of the composing. Fox has been in the band he was a founding member, of course, so he's been in the band quite a long time, too. He's also really funny. You never know it. Whenever we have practices, he's hilarious, and it seems like when he gets on stage, he's a much more muted version of himself, but we really wish that he would be the version of himself in the studio on stage. It'd be really funny. And Ryan, he is a professor. He's a sociology professor. He is wonderful at all of the computer-ness of being a modern band. He handles all of our Facebook and our website and all of that stuff that I'm not really that talented at. And he's just a very grounded individual, too. He's very serious, but he also turns on a little switch when he gets on stage and is a fabulous drummer. He's very entertaining to watch.
And from the album Ode to the Builders, what songs resonate for you the most and why?
Let's see. The song Childhood's End. What we were trying to achieve with that song was a feel of being adults looking back at how we were, say, in college. When I was in college, I lived in New York for 4 months, and Jason and I sat down to write that, and he just said, I want you to think about how it was a night for you to go out in New York. And so that's where that song began. And to me, it's just a very happy, fun song, and it makes me happy to hear it. And it's a very light song. The next song that really resonates with me would be Forward Blindly. And some of the lyrics for that would be, stop, what are we doing? There's no proof. The sky is falling, and it's all right. And that one, to us, has a lot to do with what's going on in the world right now. That it seems really bad with everything. I mean, this was before the oil spill and all of that, but this is all definitely something that was written during the time of war. But saying that things will be all right. Not to oversimplify, but that's where that song was going, in my head at least.
And talk about touring. How does that go for you guys? I mean, I understand you guys go from New Mexico to California frequently.
You know, ever since we've had children, touring has become much more of a complicated matter. We can do weekend shows, but it's just really an issue if we don't want to be away from our kids for that long. And our last major tour, I think I was 5 to 6 months pregnant on it.
Wow.
I'd worked so hard to book that tour that there's no way I wasn't going to go on it. And, you know, you couldn't tell. It just looked like I'd been hitting the donuts. You know, I didn't really look that pregnant. So it was fine. But no, of course we'd love to have a giant tour bus that we could take our kids with us. We've had a couple friends volunteer to be our tour nannies. But no one's really presented that to us yet. As soon as someone does, we'll take them up. We'll do it. But for now, we're restricted to, say, weekend tours, where we could go play a couple shows, two or three shows, and come back to our families.
And what would you like someone to come away with after they've heard Ode to the Builders?
Our inspiration for this album was, well, let me back up. You know, all of our albums, all of our songs have been about relationships. Maybe it's a relationship with yourself or a relationship with someone else, not necessarily a significant other, but just your relationship to other people. And the focus of Ode to the Builders was more your relationship with people who have helped form who you are, so say your parents or your grandparents or your town, just other influences that have, like I said, made you who you are. And I would love for people to think about those people in their lives and walk away with that from this album, to have them have a moment of reflection about how they have come to be who they are.
And I understand you guys also won a New Mexico Music Award or two.
Well, we were up for two, but we won one. That's so fabulous.
Oh, I see.
We were nominated for Best Electronic Song for Forward Blindly, and then Best Rock Alternative Song for They Have Eyes, and we won for They Have Eyes. And that was quite a wonderful moment. We were in a room with 3,000 people. Several of them had won Grammys. I mean, the people that we were in the room with represented the best musicians in New Mexico, and to be honored among those people was wonderful. And I didn't know we had to give a speech, and so as I was walking up to the stage, I was running through my head going, oh my gosh, what am I going to say? And we did okay. I think next time we'll have a speech prepared just in case. But no, it's wonderful to receive an honor like that.
Visit the band at their official website, www.leodoris.com. From their CD Ode to the Builders, here is Leodoris once again with Childhood's End.
Lie. Show the time. Red your color, I still dream. Counting sheep, even though I'm older.
Cast in a thousand.
in her eyes. Is this a clue? I still feel butterflies every time I'm near you.
With the release of Ode to the Builders, what do you think is different this time around from your previous two releases? What do you think is the biggest difference?
With this one, there was just so much more meaning for me. There's just especially a lot of individual songs, one of them referencing to my mother. Her health hasn't been that great. It's just, I think for all of us in the band, it's just been such an evolution for just, I mean, we're just getting older, we're growing up, like everybody does, and I don't know, there just seems to be so much more depth I've seemed to pour into this with all the writing versus the previous two, especially the first one. I wrote it when I was 19, so, you know, being 32 now, I just feel like I had a lot more to offer our fans, and, you know, whether they like it or not, I'm not really too sure. You know, I know it's quite a change from the last two, from being so electronic. In this one, I've really tried to push forward and turn up the guitars and the piano. Not really because, you know, it's more of an issue like I feel like we needed to, not really because we're trying to follow a trend or anything, you know, so. I don't know. I guess it's just, I feel it's different, but of course it's coming from me, from, you know, from the writing prospect, so.
I mean, if this band's been an evolution for anyone, it has been for you. What's been the biggest surprise for you since starting this band up until now? What didn't you expect?
Well, I didn't expect to. Well, honestly, I didn't expect to form the friendships I have. You know, it's something I've always wanted, but I didn't feel like it was really ever a guarantee. I don't think it's ever a guarantee for any band. I think with the band, it's like a second marriage, and, well, with my wife in the band, it's like a marriage on top of a marriage. I just, you know, like my friend Fox, you know, I've known him for over 15 years, you know, and here we are still playing music, and some of the extra surprises, I mean, just getting nominated, you know, for Best Rock Alternative, it was more just the path, you know, that led us to that. It really wasn't, getting the award wasn't really a big thing. It was just more of a personal achievement. So, that's...
Talk about how music began for you.
Music began for me when I was in fourth grade. I remember my dad offered me baseball or music, and I definitely wanted music. So I got onto piano at a young age. We could never afford any instruments, so I started a lawn mowing business, and I would actually target the houses that had pianos, and instead of people paying me, I would actually just want compensation for playing their piano. So I don't know, you start banging on the keys for over 15 years or so, you're bound to get good at it. So and then I got into percussion, actually, with band from fourth grade all the way through high school. And in high school, I got into orchestra as well and took the violin for a few years just to kind of indulge myself into, like, strings. Really wanted to do cello, but they had enough cello players, so I just kind of took what they gave me and then kind of been fiddling with guitar now. So that's been kind of on and off. But piano's probably my main love. And I used to drum for Fox in high school. We used to have kind of a punk surf band, and used to always drum for him, and then, I don't know, I just kind of got tired of kind of the regular punk scene. You know, it just seemed like everybody was doing it. There didn't seem to be much meaning behind the words or anything, just kind of clanking and banging. So that's kind of why I decided to form Leodorus right after high school. So it just kind of was sort of a little mini dream of mine, and just kind of everything just kind of fell into place where it needed to. So, and I kind of slowly, soon thereafter, met Joey. I started cutting hair, and I met a guy who knew Joey Belleville, and I heard that he recorded, and so I shot him over some demo tapes, and I don't know, I just kind of dropped him off at his house, and I had like the early versions of some, what is actually on our Ashes Ashes album, like Wake and Indigent, and some other stuff. I had this song called Scissors and Butterflies, and stuff that hasn't ever been really recorded, but yeah, he called me that night and was really stoked, really loved it, and just kind of helped me polish up my craft. I've just kind of formed a friendship there, so he's definitely been a mentor.
I see. And in settling on your current musical identity, was there ever like a one particular artist or a group of artists that sort of, you know, resonated with you?
Yeah, my dad had a very vast vintage LP collection. I have to say Electric Light Orchestra. I remember being a child listening to those records, and I just thought it was just groundbreaking. You know, of course I was really young, but even now I can still remember. I mean, Elton John, all the way from like Jimmy Page. There's just so many influences, you know, and later on, you know, with Echo and the Bunnymen, Joy Division to New Order. I just love it all, you know. And, you know, my little secret indulgence is like Django Reinhardt. So, yeah, I really don't like one specific type of music. I think, like most people, just with the music and how easily accessible it is, I think everyone, we're just so eclectic now with our taste, and I think that's great, you know. I think that's just awesome.
And are you from New Mexico as well, or...?
Not from. I was born in Heidelberg, Germany. My parents were stationed in Ramstein. My mom's from Queens, and my dad's from San Antonio, Texas. But we came to Kirtland here when I was 5, and kind of strangely, this is where we got stationed permanently. Most base families knew quite a bit, but yeah, we moved here, and it's kind of been home ever since. So, so I'm pretty much a New Mexican. So.
Let me see. And explain, if it's explainable, the songwriting process. How does that work for you?
Honestly, I think like Darla was saying, a lot of times I wake up early in the morning. Like, I know, like with Snow in July, I made myself get up at 3 in the morning because I had the chorus, the words down for that, and I had all the lyrics, or not the lyrics, but the music. So yeah, I just made myself get up and kind of pretty much wrote it from start to finish. Sometimes I write everything on the piano itself, you know, in the other living room, and then I'll come and press it all on into Logic. Sometimes I'll, you know, kind of be at the salon where I work at and kind of pre-press some stuff out on Reason, and when I come home, I'll be able to kind of dump it all into Logic and kind of make more sense of it. Pretty much write alone. There's been a few songs on this record which I got to the company of writing with Ryan and Fox, Mallory, and then Tristessa. I don't know. I mean, sometimes I'm more of a night owl, I probably have to say. I don't really write well during the day, but I write well late into the hours with a cup of coffee. So that's just where I get most of my inspiration. You know, it's just, I love writing like when everyone else is asleep. I just think that's the most peaceful time for my mind.
Earlier in the interview, you described your marriage to Darla as a marriage within a marriage, meaning the band.
Yeah. How wives, including her.
How easy or difficult is it to, you know, keep the music out of the marriage or keep them separate? Or
honestly, it's not hard. You know, I've had people ask me that, and I think if I were to really overthink it, I think it could be a problem, but it really isn't. You know, just like with us, with our family and our kids, you know, I'm just the type of guy, I want my cake and I want to eat it too. I want the family life, but I want the rock life as well, and I'm just fortunate. You know, even if this is as far as it goes, with just playing late night shows with my wife and friends, to me, that's just what it's about. You know, it's just about sharing music and ideas with other people, and, you know, just letting it go from there. You know, I'm not really in it for the dollar. I mean, if we can grow as a band even more than this, that'd be great. I welcome it. But you know, I don't know. It's really not that hard. I don't think it is, but I mean, maybe other people it is. And you look at, you know, I don't know, Sonny Bono and all that and Cher, but I don't know, Captain and Tennille, who knows? But
come on now, we can come up with better examples.
Yeah, I know. But yeah. No, honestly, I don't really find it a challenge at all. You know, I mean, everybody's gonna have their little disputes like within a band, and you know, to me, that just makes the relationship grow even more. So I kind of welcome it as well. So to your answer, no, it is not a problem. So.
I see. And from the album, what songs resonate for you the most personally, and why?
They Have Eyes was the first song I ever wrote for this album. That one's really strong for me. I guess just the ideas, the symbolic ideas. You know, sirens echo in the clouds. It's just very, it was almost like very, I envisioned very Holocaust-like. I know we're kind of in a transition now. Keep in mind, we wrote a lot of these songs, too, even before a lot of our, I guess, economic depression, you know. So it just seemed fitting that the album finally came out when it did, you know, titled Ode to the Builders. But They Have Eyes, I don't know, that one just really kind of, it's very personal to me. It's just growth. It's so many other things. I mean, just with war, you know. I mean, I've actually recently, a few years ago, I had a reunion, and I didn't realize how many friends had actually gone off to war, you know, and meeting them and hearing, sharing their experiences. So I guess every generation's got its own little tale. The other song I'd have to say is Blankets, again, kind of referencing to my mother, who, her health has been declining since I was a child. She's got really bad rheumatoid arthritis. She's down to one lung. I mean, she's, I guess the reason I'm saying this too is she kind of inspires me, because she keeps going. She never stops. You know, she's continually doing therapy for herself, you know, through, you know, going to pool therapy and all the medications. There's actually a little lyric in there, in Blankets, medication running through these veins. And it was a very personal thing for me writing that song. I think it was kind of a healing moment for myself, and you know, I don't think we're all guaranteed. You know, we all don't really know how long we are for this world. But I guess whenever I feel like times are really getting tough on me, I just reflect on my mother, and she keeps going, and she's in constant pain. So it really doesn't leave me much to complain with, you know. So.
I see. And when you guys go out on the road, I mean, the kids obviously stay with the grandparents. I mean, how does that work? You know?
My parents, as long as my father's with my mother, they'll watch them if we play shows here in town, like at Launchpad, or, you know, bless them, they've been up till 2 in the morning when we've come back, you know, after unloading all the gear and pick up the kids. My wife's family will come up and watch the house and the kids when we hit the road. Like when we went up to Oklahoma last, you know, they stay here for a few days, and it's great because they don't get to see the kids much, so it kind of works out both ways. It gives them time to spend with the kids, and it gives us time. It's almost like our little vacation. I can't really say we take much vacations except it's for just the band, you know? So I think we went to Vegas not too long ago, and that's been a trip from a long time that I can remember with it not being associated with the band. So
I see.
But, yeah.
And what would you like a person to come away with after they've heard Ode to the Builders, the album?
I don't know. That's kind of hard. I guess because it's just like people are going to have their own opinions, you know, and regardless of how I may feel, if they like it or if they don't like it, you know, everyone's entitled to their own opinion, you know. I guess what I like to come away with is the song for me, it really, I know, goes back and forth. I can see how it's really different than the other two albums for people. I think a lot of people are going to be maybe a little weirded out because it's not as electronica, rock pop. It's more of a, it's very acoustic, you know, with electronics. So, I don't know. I just want, gosh, that's such a hard question. You know, it's hard to give like a direct answer. I guess I just like people to feel good about it, you know? I mean, to me, the songs just, they have so much meaning for me that I've had people tell me certain songs, what it means to them, and it's completely opposite of how I even envision the song, but it's all into interpretation, so. I hope people feel their dollar's worth from iTunes, or whether they buy it physically or burn it from a friend, that, you know, I just, the songs mean a lot to us, you know, and, you know, I think hopefully people can get that from the lyrics, you know, so. And, you know, I hope just, especially with Ode to the Builders, I hope it can somehow relate to people, especially during this time, you know, time of need with people losing their jobs and, you know, times, you know, struggling with families and all that too, so. But also just hopefully it rocks for people as well, so.
And where do you see Leodorus going from here, musically, I mean?
Musically, I'm going to keep doing it, you know, until there's no air left in my lungs. So, I mean, this isn't the last album. My main thing is definitely, I'm a very live person. Like, I love working in the studio, but I love playing shows live more than anything. So, especially just connecting with people in the audience. So, just probably playing shows, and I really hope we can offer that to people. You know, it's just, it all comes down to our schedules and everyone else's schedules, but I think that's, it's such a great dynamic in this band because everyone is kind of willing to just give it their all for this, which is really hard to find, I think, with all four members willing to do that without, you know, cutting jobs and everything else. But, yeah, just, you know, hopefully we can get out to people's hometowns and, you know, give them a great show. So.
Visit the band at their official website, www.leodorus.com. From their CD Ode to the Builders, here is Leodorus once again with Forward Blindly.
Tell us based on wealth where to go.
You're listening to Rockwired Radio, exclusively at rockwired.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and we'll be back with some more great music after this teeny tiny little break. So small you won't even know it's there. This is Rockwired Radio, exclusively at rockwired.com. Musical aptitude since 2005. Welcome back to Rockwired Radio. This is the last segment of the show, and it's going to rock. I think that I can say with all the confidence in the world that you ain't going to hear a mix of music like this one. It's almost like every artist that comes to Rockwired comes from a different place, whether it's music or a matter of geographics. And speaking of geographics, this next artist is based out of Washington State and is under the thumb of producer Sir Mix-a-Lot. Yeah, that's Sir Mix-a-Lot, the Baby Got Back Sir Mix-a-Lot. Her name is Tamika Williams, and she boasts a surprisingly soulful rock sound. From her CD, The Black Hood, here is Tamika Williams with Ho.
Hello?
Hey.
Hey, what's up?
What you doing?
You know, just out here doing my thing.
Oh,
you know,
yeah?
Working. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been trying to call you for the past couple of days, and mm-hmm. I've been able to get in contact with you.
You know, baby, I just been out here trying to do my thing, trying to make a little money.
How long do you really expect me to take this shit?
What the hell are you talking about, man?
I'm serious, though.
Hey, who's that calling your phone? Who's that?
Oh, that's my girl. I'll just get it back in a minute.
Yeah, your girl. Okay, but anyway, man, you know, me and my homies, we've been playing darts, you know what I'm saying?
Really?
Trying to do our thing, you know, playing some darts.
Darts?
Yeah, darts. What's wrong with that?
Now you're calling me a hoe, 'cause a chick wanna hit the dough. Now you're calling me a hoe, I'ma do what a chick gotta do. Why do you gotta call me a hoe? Call you back whenever I get time. Now you're calling me a hoe, I can't have game if I don't play. I used to cling to your arm, I used to live for your smile. I used to believe in a dream named could've kept him pleased, but he'd be out pumping some gutter butt's mouth in the back of his car. 5 years now, see him on the prowl. I got the villas out looking around. Now you're calling me a hoe, 'cause a chick wanna hit the dough. Now you're calling me a hoe, I'ma do what a chick gotta do. Why do you gotta call me a hoe? Calling me a hoe.
From their CD Man is the Enemy, that was Cannibalist with Hit the Floor. Check out the band at www.cannibalist.com. If you just now happen to hear about Rockwired Radio for the first time, let me tell you that Rockwired.com has been an online music magazine since 2005. While we're based in New Mexico at the moment, we're actually formed in Southern California. We love our new surroundings, and we want to be part of the music scene here in the land of entrapment. If you're a recording artist based in New Mexico and you've got something you want to get out there, let me know. Email me at djlush@rockwired.com or go to rockwired.com and click where it says contact. Send me your links and I'll see what I can do. But right now, from their aptly titled CD Rock and Roll, here are the Canadian rockers' Social Code with Nothing Left to Lose.
Can. I'm spinning around.
their album Band, that was the Santa Fe-based band The Strange with Mainline. The greatest thing about doing this radio show is all the friendships that get forged. One friendship in particular is with singer-songwriter Anna Modorsky, who has re-released her CD Talk Is Cheap. Actually, it's not just a re-release, it's almost like a reimagining. At the moment, she's putting a tour together, and I sincerely hope she comes around this way. Here is Anna Modorsky with the title track of her latest CD, Talk Is Cheap.
Sell out the
That's going to do it for today's edition of Rockwired Radio. When you get a chance, check out the previous editions of Rockwired Radio at rockwired.com/rockwiredradio.html. A special thanks goes out to Jason Smith and Darla Van Winkle of Leodoris. I couldn't have done it without you guys. For Rockwired Radio, I'm Brian Lush, and remember, keep your eyes forward, never look back, and make it up as you go. Rockwired Radio is a production of Rockwired Media, LLC, a limited liability company, and is available exclusively at rockwired.com.